This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It is 6:08 on Monday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Travel and Adventure Shows. We are going to have... we have a few things to give away today, actually, because we have 10 pairs of tickets for our live secret show on Wednesday. Kind of your last chance. We may or may not have some more tomorrow.
They're still counting.
Still thinking today might be the last day. They were like hardcore last week. We're trying to get people on the list. They're like, no, there are no tickets left. Those people are like, what? No, you have. We've also got a $100 gift card for Whole Foods Market. And then this week, our biggie this week, the one that goes all day long, is Ed Sheeran. AT&T Park. And I don't see the date here, but we have tickets for that show all day long, 9, noon, 3, and 5. So.
Oh, let me get that date.
You want to hear something weird?
Yes, Vinny. I love weird things.
Ed Sheeran was possibly going to do his show at Levi's Stadium. And ended up choosing to do it at AT&T because I think they let him play later.
Yeah, there's a noise ordinance. Yep. Although there's a noise ordinance here too.
Maybe the
Levi
fine is
might
less.
Be 10 o'clock, and this one over here might be 11 o'clock. But perhaps maybe it has something to do with the fine. I don't know what the.
Well, even 11 o'clock is. I mean, geez, that's better than 10. Like a. You know, if you could still start the show at 9 and do 2 hours.
Party yeah. works at the stadium and was like, oh, yeah, I'm yeah. so bummed we lost Aww. The Ed Sheeran show. And I'm all, what are you talking about, dude? Yeah.
Well, and
what
you
is
did,
your problem?
I guess you should have told Party that's not where he should have built the stadium, you know, right in the middle of the neighborhood.
That's right. It's 11 p.m. here at AT&T and
go.
It's at 10 yeah. at
Do you? This
Levi's.
Is offbeat, Human, but do you know, like, the numbers? How many does Levi hold more than...
I don't think so. I think it's the same. I think they're both 40,000 or close.
Yeah, they set them up specific to the way they put the stage in and change the seating arrangements mm-hmm. so that they can
have
sell
X
it out.
Right.
AT&T is 41,000.
I'm seeing the Ed Sheeran date is August 21st.
Okay, so, let me jot that down.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I have the date right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
August 21st at
Levi's
7 p.m.
Levi's has somewhere between 56 to 68,000.
Oh wow!
Well, probably for a game, but like Vinny said, you know they'll set the stage up midfield and just use the back
they,
half.
Yeah,
of the...
Yeah, they block off sure. part yeah. behind the stage is empty.
Right. Or if they, I mean, I suppose they could sell like you've seen that like obstructed view tickets. Or
you're be
looking,
crazy to you're, buy that though.
Well, you know, I guess you hope you. You can sneak onto the floor. Okay, so there's that. All kinds of stuff to give away today. Please keep it here on the Aleph all morning long. Find your next vacation at the San Francisco Travel and Adventure Show, February 17th and 18th. That is this weekend at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Get your tickets at travelshows.com. Let's see, do I have a sponsor here? I do. Celebrity Trash is brought to you by the San Francisco Gift Center and Jewelry Mart, now open to the public. Even if you're Valentine... cuts her own hair and won't wear a dress. She might like some jewelry. They should change that one. Let's go back to the overwhelming.
There is one for later.
Oh, really?
That alludes to someone else here.
Hold on, I want to see it.
Yeah, go down to 8 o'clock.
Oh, I see it. Cute. It's a good one. You'll hear it at 8. Visit sfgcjm.com. sfgcjm.com. The Winter Olympics, the opening ceremonies, did you watch much of that?
I did not. What I saw as they were marching in, what do they call that, the parade?
Of nations or whatever.
Okay, sure. I guess it's so cold there that they didn't put seats for people to be in the crowd. People were pushed back underneath into the hallways of the stadium, and they just had lights where seats would normally
be. I noticed that they, I wondered what the deal was with that. Because...
So there were, so when I first looked at it, I thought, there's no people there.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
None.
Right. As I thought they were on the side that they weren't showing or something,
no, there,
but I
so
guess
there
it was empty.
All the way, no, there were people there, and I don't know how many they could actually fit, but they were pushed out of the...
Cold.
Hmm. Like, it's almost as if you're looking at a stadium, you know, how the stadium has the hallways around the the seats where people use to get to the concessions. That's where people were seated or standing or waiting.
Are they glass walled right there? Is that, you know?
I didn't watch long enough or hear any
I pictured them like six people in the doorway with a bunch of people crowded behind them, you know, all trying to get a peek
at this thing. It's super weird the way that was set up. And I realize it's freezing there and that's probably part of the issue. But you'd think it's the Olympics that they would be filling that stadium with humans and they didn't.
No.
Or at least not visibly.
You know, at this point, though, it's a huge production number that needs to go flawlessly for the billion people watching it on TV. You know, like when it comes down to it, they're like, we don't want the people to freeze to death. That's bad TV. Although you couldn't really see them. Did you see the, look, it's basically just a parade, right? So there's some dancing and it's a cool stage, blah, blah, blah. Did you see that the freaking drone thing that they did?
No.
Oh, I did.
It was insane.
It was.
I don't know how many of them there were, but I don't know, 2,000? They look like stars, right? Uh-huh. Each one has a little light. 1,200 of these little drones, each has a light, and they keep arranging them and rearranging them into these 3D. It was like controllable fireworks.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you
it was fascinating.
It was.
Don't you think, just like the lights on the bridge, they probably pre-program all that crap, right? There's not one person going,
Yeah, definitely pre-programmed.
I'm sure they were pre-programmed.
I just didn't know that you could, I guess I picture drones not being able to be so close together.
I know. I actually was saying, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm like, is this like a difficult, because, I don't know, we got into this whole conversation, I'm sitting there with my Berkeley kid and he goes, no, that would actually be a pretty simple programming. There'd be a proximity thing and they'd write the code for the whole thing.
Wow.
And I go, oh, so you're telling me when we all get bubble cars and we're flying around that there'll be some kind of grid that we lock into? And he said, yeah, and it's actually pretty simple. Like there would be parameters and they'd set it up and they'd,
Riley.
But they did I know it's funny because I'm like, oh my God, that must be a monumental accomplishment in computer programming. He goes, yeah, you know, that'd be, sure, I'm sure it's complicated. Uh-huh. But they were forming all these different things, and one of the things was they did the Olympic rings, and they weren't confined to the stadium at all. Like, I think they were between like two mountains over near some of the courses when they did the rings, and they were totally 3D. Like, it was so beautiful and so cool. It'll probably become just something that we take for granted now, like everything else, you know, right? But it was like controllable fireworks. It's like shooting off fireworks and then being able to make them into a nice teddy bear, or I don't know what you want your fireworks
very
to look
interesting
like.
Though that has time has so when China hosted the Olympics, and I know that I believe that was summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they had thousands of people performing in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands with all the drum things and the dancing, and
it was kooky.
This might be the most impersonal opening ceremonies I'm telling you, there's no people in the stadium.
Right.
They do this thing here that's like the way that people walked in that circle, in some cases, they're actually talking about the one competitor and then the three coaches behind them and then like the one handler.
Here's the contingent
right? Yikes.
Or from, you know, whatever, some country where it's too warm for winter sports.
And, you know, it's trippy. So while I was watching the little bit, Jamie Anderson, congratulations.
Yay.
Huge gold medal win in snowboarding last night. I got to watch a little of it. And the missus goes, I thought Russia was banned from these Olympics. And they're banned. But they have people competing who either weren't caught up in the scandal
were
or
able
they
to prove that they, right.
And so they are, when they win, they will be a competitor from Russia, but they won't win for their country.
They
and
won't
their
hear
anthem
their,
won't play.
Or show their flag.
And they've actually, I don't have it in front of me, but when I clicked on it online this morning, that it says the Olympic flag is there and it says competitor from Russia, and they've already won a few medals.
They have. There's a lot of them.
Weird.
40-something, right? Maybe that. Maybe more. I don't know.
I just know the U.S. has the most athletes.
You know, I was in and out while the opening ceremonies were playing, but I heard them talking about that Brazilian guy, the oiled up dude,
from
Summer Olympics. He was there again, yeah. And I want to say he was shirtless and oiled up. Like, that's his claim to fame, and that it was a degree, or maybe negative some degrees. And the dude was still oiled up. But I didn't see it.
What did he do at the summer games?
He was the one everyone was talking about. Like, he was all, because I guess they were
he's
all
so handsome.
He's Tongan. He's a Tongan guy.
Tongan. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he is handsome.
And I don't know what they're gonna do in the.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
But he was.
Pull up the
it was
picture
all
for
oily,
Vinny.
And all the everyone was going crazy over it.
It's all right.
No, it's just funny because I was surprised that the oil didn't freeze. I don't know what temperature
right.
oil freezes at, but it seemed
it's
like
really
they were
cold
close.
There for sure.
His name is Pita, TAUFAT. Tofu.
Oh, wow.
Good one.
All right.
Did you show him the picture?
We're looking at it right now. It's just so funny because, I mean, that dude his entire life is based around him being shirtless at the Olympics.
What?
So they figured out a way to send Winter Olympics from Tonga. Like, I don't know are they bobsledders? Like, are they ice skaters? Like, who are these Tongan athletes?
It's better than being known as the guy who falls downstairs or the guy who wets himself in the stands.
Agreed, Vinny. Those are both things you would be less happy about.
People are saying the empty seats were for the athletes.
I wondered if
and
they were
they showed
filling
Team USA
them up.
Sitting in. I guess as they came off, they filled up the seats.
But they were lights.
Yeah, they had little. They definitely were using the seats as part of the show. So I don't know.
Okay.
If
well,
maybe
whatever.
They...
You know what? It just was a really weird thing to see it be...
the whole thing be empty.
Right.
Right. So anyway, the opening ceremonies happened. We were watching, I actually got bored of it because we were watching the high jump and the luge. And
as I'm sitting there,
you know, it's exciting to watch the first couple runs. And then it's like the difference between winner and loser was something like 7/1000ths of a second.
Well, that's how most of this is.
I know, but then every single one, it just all looked the same. I'm like, okay, another shot of him coming around this turn and this turn. I 10 of them in, I was just like, I am going to go do something else. You guys enjoy. And then the high jump was the ski jump, you know, where they go down. It was just like, what's up with those tracks? Has that always been like that? They lock into those tracks that take them down the ski jump? I thought they just had to control their run down. There's like actual tracks that their skis are locked into all the way down. Never have noticed that before. But that was the same thing, like one after another. Just, I was like, oh.
Well, at least in the ski jumping, at least the winner wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distance thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know you won because you went the farthest. Some stuff that's judged, and look, I know surfing's the same way. There are judges that decide this stuff, and it's kind of bunk. Like, as competition goes, you want to either win or lose.
Right.
And not have someone go, that wasn't a 10.
Right.
You gave that guy a 10.
So, right, when it's the fastest or the furthest or the most or whatever it is, it's a quantifiable thing that makes you win.
I prefer that in that sense because ice dancing is one of the biggest things in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah,
and again, it's the same thing where everyone does their routine and you go, without any kind of trained eye, you're like, I don't know.
That looked just as good as the one that got 2 points higher.
Either someone should fall, and then I know they've lost.
Well, how do you feel about like the snowboarding stuff and the stuff where they're doing kind of the freestyle-y jumping?
It's the same thing. It's judged. I like it because I can at least. I've never even ice skated. Mm-hmm. I don't have any idea what that's about.
But
and
for
I don't,
you can tell technically what might or might not be happening.
Have you ever tried to get any air on skis?
Yes.
Second you leave the ground, you're like, whoa!
Yeah, you're freaking out. I was like, I'm free. I'm loose. I'm rolling down the hill. It's over.
So as soon as you get a little air, you realize what they're doing is mind-blowing.
Mm.
And especially as they get into the air and then they start throwing flips.
Right.
And then not just flips, but twists.
But to me, that's, I get that, why you wouldn't be into the ice skating. It's not your thing and you're into the snowboarding and vice versa for me. But I agree with you that it's difficult to tell why someone got the score that they did as a layperson.
Right. I'll give you another example. Pro skateboarders today are better than any athlete that has ever come before them in terms of skateboarding and what they can accomplish. I'm in skateboarding. I know skateboarding, and I watch what they do, and I have to stop, rewind, and replay it to see how intricate the stuff they're doing.
I wonder if the judges have any kind of option like that, if there's something in front of them, or they can ask to see something
they're
back
so
before they give their decision.
Intricate in that this is the back heel, and this is the stuff they're doing is mind-blowing and happens so fast, you go, what did that guy just do? The stuff we used to do was get an air.
Right.
There's a trick.
Right.
They're doing stuff that where there's multiple flips and spins, and so
it always has to progress. It's always got to get bigger
and
better. And
it's profound what they're up to, and it does take a judge with an extremely good eye and probably someone who's competed before to get it.
And who wasn't busy looking down at their list when the thing's happening. They got to be looking.
They can't have their phones out,
that's
for
right.
Sure.
That's right. Those things are a major distraction.
Hey, honey, I'm just, you know.
I'm just judging. So, you know, if you're trying to watch this stuff live, I guess there must be feeds. I don't know where those are because I'm just watching the primetime stuff.
Well, I'm seeing daytime Olympics coverage at noon on NBC today. And then primetime Olympics coverage happens at 8 o'clock tonight on NBC.
Was I the only one who, during the opening ceremonies, I was actually, like, I like Katie Couric. I have no problem with her. Mm. Her voice turned into such a drone for me.
Oh.
Like,
that event.
I was like, you can shut up. I was like, just put it on mute.
The
John.
Whole thing's a drone.
It's crazy.
I mean, you get that these people, this is their moment, and they've trained for 4 years, yeah. But as they announce these countries, and now they're going to, you know, wave, and you hear a little blurb on the people, and that's
right.
Fine. That's what they're there to do. But the opening ceremonies are boring in general.
People complained about her.
Grating.
People complained about, I can't remember the guy who is broadcasting
Tirico?
With her. Maybe it was some other guy, but he made some disparaging remark regarding Japan and Korea. So.
Oh, no. Okay, so I believe, and again, I know Mike Tirico is the host that replaced Bob Costas.
Uh-huh.
So he's the guy, and I don't.
It wasn't him. It was some other guy.
No. I know that. So I think it was Katie Couric and Tirico were the main
yes.
announcers. They went to another announcer
uh-huh.
who was talking about how South Koreans are proud of this. And there's apparently Japan occupied South Korea for 40 something years.
Right.
And there is no forgiving that. And as this guy was saying, he was proud that these people were able to put away their South Koreans went, no, we're not proud and we're not okay with what went down. And I guess that is social media at its finest.
Yes.
Was,
people were going off.
Well,
and
that's what people do on social
media.
The
other thing that people are going crazy about, I don't know, Bryn, maybe later you can find something, but Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski, people love them. They're catty. They're mean. They're talking about outfits. They're like, oh, that was the worst I've ever seen. They're going on and on. And they're calling them gold. Like, these broadcasters together are gold.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So this is for the figure skating?
Yes.
Yeah.
Haven't they had a show together?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know about that. Like, what kind of show?
Well, they came off the last Olympics with the uh-huh. same press that uh-huh. they were incredible and had a unique, neat
humor
relationship.
And, yeah.
Right. And I think they had a show together. Like, some
reality
yes.
thing following
oh,
them.
Funny.
Tara and Johnny take on the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know her that well, but I love him. I think he's had some funny crap. Just, I mean, not funny for him, like the
personal
cattiness
stuff.
And the divorce and the
yeah.
Fabergé egg that was
oh,
the contentious.
Right.
I mean, just excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep it up, Johnny. And then our own Johnny Mosley. Colin,
I haven't seen anything on him.
He did. My cousin was texting me from. He goes, don't you know that this guy is doing the mogul thing right now? And I'm like, I wasn't watching it, but I was like, if it's the moguls, then I do know the guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, the guy's amazing. Like he's breaking the whole thing down and blah blah. I'm like, oh well, surprise.
Well, that's his event.
Our boy.
That is his event. All right. Well, so there's page one of the things that I had planned for this. We're gonna go ahead and take a break. What's coming up in the news?
Our coach is a record breaker.
All right.
This word's coming up.
Oh, can you say that? I mean, it is a body part. I think
what
you can
part?
Say that. It's a rear
end part.
You
have to think
part.
About it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just a...
The butt?
It's a part of the butt.
Well, you didn't read it, so I have already failed at my bit. I wrote it here so that you would read it.
Why? So that he could play it back for you?
Can
I don't
you say.
I don't like
Sarah tricky. Would get in trouble, and yeah, get suspended.
Anu.
Thanks, Vinny.
Can you say Anu?
It's not that. It's another part. I think you can say it if it's not. If
can
you're going to try to be
taint?
Funny, we're
can
doing
you say
the news.
The taint. Radio.com.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. Hey, thanks for listening. Happy Monday. Oh, God, what a great day. Love Monday. Bring on more Mondays, you know? Why are there only 52 a year? Damn. Hey, this part of the show is brought to you by Credit Karma. You can watch this show. Hey, looking at the camera right now. RadioAlice.com/watch. We got a guy, Vaughn. He runs the cameras all morning and then loops the show throughout the day. So 24/7, you can watch the show, but it's live while we are here. RadioAlice.com/watch. Is the new RadioAlice.com up now? No? Check daily to see. I'm sure it'll be very streamlined.
It probably is. I mean, I think the last, I went to it not since Friday, to be honest with you, but it seemed a lot cleaner.
Oh, you didn't spend all weekend on there?
No, I didn't, unfortunately. Mm.
So RadioAlice.com/watch takes you right to the Looking Glass.
Although our intern was on it this morning for the past hour, getting stories and stuff for us.
Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Jumpstart MD. Call 855-JUMPSTART and get a jump on a happy, healthier you.
Okay.
Here's what's happening. Well, our coach, Steve Kerr, has just accomplished a new record. Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors... His record is 250-52, which means he just won 250 games in 302 games, which beats Phil Jackson's previous record by 44 games.
Wow.
That also, and this is across multiple
by 44 games.
Multiple
Holy
pro
God.
Sports, as in Frank Chance has dropped to third behind Phil Jackson and Steve Kerr. He was an old school coach of the manager of the Cubs, and Don Shula, who you might know as the Miami Dolphins coach, he drops to fourth place now. So congratulations, Steve Kerr, the fastest coach in American sports history to 250 wins. He said, "It just means I inherited a hell of a team, amazing, talented group of players."
Oh, how humble.
It is very humble of him. And
very nice.
Congratulations.
I like a humble acceptance of accolades.
I like him. Every time I see him, I stop.
He's fantastic. Absolutely.
I think he's handsome as well.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. You know, my type.
What do you do when your butt falls out?
When you have a prolapsed rectum.
Do you try to catch it?
How does that happen?
You sit down.
How does that
happen? I think you go right to the hospital, Vinny.
Zhongshan in Southeast China was sitting on the toilet last week playing video games on his phone. And after about a half hour...
His legs didn't fall asleep?
I'm sure those did fall asleep, but he powered through that. Mm. And then his buckeye just fell out.
What?
Just fell right out.
His buckeye fell out?
Yeah.
It seems like so much would have to let go to happen. It like folds over itself and comes out.
Apparently, while he was sitting there playing around on his phone.
Look up pictures of it.
His pelvic muscles got weak enough that they couldn't hold the area in anymore.
And it just fell out.
And so it just fell out and hung there. He rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery, and the doctors say he's recovering. They say here that he probably had past issues, and that's most of us don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's not just going to fall out. It's very scary.
Yo-yoing out of your backside.
We have this orange tree.
Oh, this should be good.
And the oranges are... I brought you guys the oranges before. They're huge. They're great. I'm super... I love them. But the best thing about them is that they all have prolapsed bottoms.
What are you talking about?
They all have, you know, there's like the hole at the bottom of the orange. There's always like huge chunks of stuff hanging out of each one of them. Like, looks like this.
That's gross.
I know. It's funny.
So you don't eat them?
Oh, no, we eat them.
Oh.
I mean, it's not an actual butt.
You know, it's an orange butt. But it's just so funny because I'm always like, oh, God, look at the prolapse on that orange. And we have like a whole joke about it. We talk about
Do you have a song?
We don't have a prolapse.
Yeah, you're
you know
need
what?
A song.
Now I'm going to need to put one together.
Is that a picture of your orange or did Bryn just find another tree?
Yeah, I just typed in prolapse orange.
Oh.
You want right. more views of that than you want the ones from the side because sometimes they protrude
no,
two plus inches.
I get it.
But that's, yeah, that's what I picture a prolapse to look like.
Well, never mind.
What?
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Like that happens.
You don't go to work the next day.
No, I mean, that's.
Sorry, guys.
I have a prolapse fuck eye.
There are people fooling around sexually enough that bad things happen
yes.
to them. And often they're on video when it does.
Oh.
I have never clicked on any
Lord.
Of those.
They
but
have
that
those as
word,
like a fetish.
That word, prolapse,
yeah.
is in the description, and I just flip right past right. it. Like, who would want to ever see that?
Well, somebody.
Someone does.
Something for everyone.
Right. Someone does.
Yeah. Something for everybody.
So this is a dream, I guess, for some.
Oh.
To me, this is an example of why you don't pursue certain dreams, though.
This is This is a nightmare?
This is a nightmare.
Okay.
24-year-old woman named Nikki Walsh and her 26-year-old boyfriend, Tanner Broadwell. They decided they were going to give up on their lives, buy a boat, and sail around the world.
Okay.
All right.
Are they experienced
They've
sailors?
Sold, they're not, actually. So last year, they sold all their stuff and moved from Colorado to Florida and bought a 28-foot sailboat. And even though they really didn't have any sailing experience...
They figured, how hard can it be?
Well, they probably figured they'd learn along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Sailing's hard.
The ocean is no joke.
No.
I've tried to tell you guys. I know that, you know, the WAPA guy gives all people who go in the ocean a pretty bad name.
WAPA. I was like in the curl, like, oh, you know, then crush me, put me in the tumbler.
That guy is not a best representative. Right, that guy. Anyway,
I love that guy.
I know that you do. But,
the sailing is like, there's, you know.
The ocean in general will kill you.
It's freaking, you can capsize your boat easily if you're inexperienced.
And that's what they did.
Oh, of course they did.
So.
Within what, like the first 20 minutes?
Within the first 2 days.
Oh.
Last Tuesday, the boat was finally ready, so they set sail for Key West. And the next day, the boat sank. Apparently, they'd hit something underwater. The cabin flooded, and they had to abandon ship. They were rescued. The boat is a total loss. In fact, it's going to cost them $10,000 to get the boat back.
So they're just going to let it lay.
Well, I don't think you're allowed to just let
oh,
it lay.
Really?
I think that they tow that in and then send you a bill.
Oh, my God.
I think that's how that... You can't just be all...
Oh, I feel bad for
them.
Let it sink.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
I crashed my boat.
Hopefully
Bye,
they had
boat.
Insurance. Let's
that
hope.
Thing's probably registered and they've, you know, they're going to be responsible
what
for
are the
what
chances
it takes
that
to...
they had insurance?
I'm going to say high.
Oh. I'm going to say low.
Nikki and Tanner now they don't know what to do. They have no clothes, no money, no stuff, no place to live. They sold everything and they bought a boat and that boat broke and sunk.
Yeah.
That guy.
Smack the lip.
Whoop-ha. I love that guy.
Not a great representative.
Oh, he's the best. You can, he's everything I want a surfer
people who tackle
be.
The ocean and live to tell about it. That's not the story.
Well, he
you
lived
hear.
To tell. I mean, these people have to now they're landlubbers again. What's he even saying there? Drop down.
Anyway,
that guy is great.
These two turkeys' lives are ruined now.
That sucks.
And I appreciate that they wanted to do it. And
yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Except for the whole part where you're on a boat.
The guy said, from what I read, the guy said something like, well, I had these maps and I'd had some my dad or someone in his family had sailed before and gave him some ideas about how to handle it. But a spokesperson said, well, sandbars move. And you have to really know how to read these maps in order to understand where the flat spots are going to be. And you got to know tides. And
yeah. You need to have some experience.
Right.
You don't just go buy a sailboat. And
they're lucky they didn't make it out to deep ocean.
Right.
Way out
they,
there.
They just would have been lost. I wonder if they had life preservers on. This is great. Probably the first day. They're like, this is amazing. We made the right decision. Day two, boat sinks.
It's so funny that that. I mean, I feel bad for him.
I feel bad
for
him, too.
A little bit. But I also think, like, they say they're hoping friends and family are going to prop them up for now. And then one day in the future, they're going to get another boat.
Oh, my God. They're going to do it again?
Nikki says, quote, we can't just give up on our dreams now.
Just save a little longer and just get a regular. Just, I mean, if you have to have a boat, how about not a sailboat?
Maybe taking some lessons.
Yeah. Oh, my God. In the meantime, learn how to sail.
Years and years and years of lessons before you try that again. You didn't make it.
No.
You started in Florida and you crashed in Florida. That's not making it anywhere.
Yeah.
That is not. Yikes.
Yikes is right.
So stupid.
They need, what they need is just a motorboat with a flat bottom. They, you know.
And
then,
oh, really?
Then they don't have to worry about, as least as much about the, because, you know, what, how, I don't know how long that, what is it, called a rudder? What, the keel, whatever the long part is under a sailboat that matches the thing on top. Like that thing, you know, you just think you're in a boat. Meanwhile, you got 20 feet down below
you. Sure.
They need a flat bottom boat, Vinny.
I have a friend.
Let me talk to these people.
Thanks to Facebook, I have a friend. We don't hang out. I don't see her, but she's a married lady, lives somewhere around here, but she, her husband and her like 9-year-old sailed around the world.
Oh my God.
And I only know it because of Facebook.
Well,
they were posting pictures. They were
experienced
and it's, but it was a trip. They had to basically drop out of their lives and go do this thing. They brought their boy with them too. So I guess they
were
also, doing homeschooling on the boat and.
Well, he learned how to sail. At least there was that.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Not something you just take on and, you know, cross your fingers.
No. Well, you know.
No.
But I'm saying I can see why someone would make that mistake because they're like, oh, it's sunny Florida. It's beautiful. This will be easy. It'll be a dream life. Not really. They live in Colorado. Like, you know, they didn't grow up sailing, so they don't know how difficult it is.
Right.
And that it's a skill.
Right. And life or death. The ocean is life or death all the time.
It's almost has no feelings toward you at all. It doesn't hate you. It doesn't love you. It just is. And and you are.
By yourself. In certain situations, it's you are the only one that can get you up to the surface for air.
Yep. Nobody's coming to help. There's no mermaid down there who's going to rescue you.
You got to figure out how to get out of the turbulence
dolphin.
And up to the air.
Yep.
And if it's holding you down, then you have to wait and cross your fingers that it's going to let you up. It's gnarly.
415 says, I read their story as well. They had no insurance.
Yeah, they're really. God.
Basically, they lived aboard for the cheap slip fee, and then they couldn't even pay that, so they skipped out.
That's so they were going to just live in the slip, and then they were like, we can't afford it. Let's just go out to the ocean.
415 says they now have a GoFundMe account.
Of course they do.
No,
the answer is no.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have demonstrated you don't know what to do with money.
Go get a job.
Yeah, GoFundMe.
Yeah.
GoFundMe should actually have a jobs page.
So this is interesting because I'm a huge peanut butter fan. I love it.
Yeah me too.
And one of the things that I most recently, I'd say it's been over a year now, but I like those acai bowls.
Yeah.
You ever seen those?
I've
bananas,
seen
strawberries, blueberries, and then this acai, which is like a blueberry fruit that's more of a kind of a shake or a smoothie type thing that. And then they put a little granola on. It's like a vitamin B shot.
And you get a big blob of peanut butter in there.
I do. So the missus came back with that once, and you wouldn't think it's good, but it's incredible. You have to get an acai bowl with peanut butter, or you aren't experiencing it at its best.
You're not living life until you've had this.
So I love it. I eat a PB&J every day, as you well know.
Yep. You're not sick of it.
I can't get behind this.
What is it?
A popular new hot dog topping is...
Oh, no.
Peanut butter.
No.
Yuck.
And the people at Food and Wine magazine...
Hooman,
you don't have anyone... You don't know the editor of Food and Wine?
I know the editor of Wine Business Monthly.
Oh, sorry.
That's Close. Rachel.
Oh. Where's Rachel?
Where's Rachel? Well,
she's
not working
busy
at Food
working.
& Wine Magazine.
Oh, well, anyway.
Wine Business Monthly.
The people at Food & Wine Magazine tried it out, and they say it's surprisingly good. Who knew peanuts and hot dogs were complimentary flavors?
Well, in a way, you know, that's what you'd get at the ballpark. Some peanuts and a hot dog.
You say.
I would never get that. I would get the hot dog, not the peanuts.
I'm going to stick with the mustard.
Yeah, I'm going. Actually, I just want ketchup. Lately, I've been off mustard.
Huh.
I know. I'm a big mustard fan. And I just don't. We had hot dogs just the other night. I just wanted.
You did not.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we always have hot dogs. Yeah, we have hot dogs a few times a year. It's so easy. Big can of baked beans.
Food
hot dogs.
Food & Wine is owned by Time Magazine.
Oh.
So you don't know anybody over there?
Corpo Whoa. Magazines. Boo.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the trash there?
Oh, is it already that time?
It is.
Let's see. I actually got some details about Shaun White. He did smash his face up, and he has had a bunch of work done
to his
face. Incredible. And then I've also got, we're going to talk about Omarosa. We just have to. She's on Celebrity Big Brother right now. And more after these.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.